Ad-Free Shows fans, it is a very special edition of One on One with John Alba here on AdFreeShows.com. Drops every single week. You subscribe, AdFreeShows.com, AFS on YouTube as well. You get early access as a subscriber, of course, because I got the man of the hour that I've been wanting to talk to for so long. It's been a while since you and I have chatted.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, actually, back in my old TV news career days. And I'm much happier to be with you in person, though. He is none other than Effie. And I want to ask you something real quick, because I was talking to some friends about what I was going to be doing here in Minneapolis at First Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm interviewing Effie, and they're not necessarily wrestling fans. And they said, what's an Effie? And that's a question that we heard some other prominent individual ask recently. So what is Effie?
I often will preface what I say with excusing my big brain attitude towards professional wrestling. I think where people have gotten confused is when you try to describe Effie in a sentence, you get it somewhat right, but you miss the point, because Effie exists as a complete caricature of everything in pro wrestling: the showiness, the flashiness, the aggressiveness, the playfulness, the character, the costume, the elegance, the over the top, the exaggeration. But Effie also plays a form of making you face yourself. And when people are in the ring with me or they're announced with me, they never really know what they're going to get, because they think they're facing Effie when really they're facing whatever's going on here inside of their own brain. And sometimes when you face a reflection, it can leave you a little confused, especially when it's your own and it's authentic. So Effie is really here just to make you all have to deal with yourselves in the middle of that ring.
I mean, I love that you just went straight full promo mode right on that.
Because listen, I don't know how to turn it off. People are like, someone said to me the other day, John, they said, your presentation is so good. And it's true, but also I was thinking about it for a second. I was like, oh, girl, she was just strutting out there and being loose and vibing. The presentation was just whatever was going on in my head. Me at a FedEx or me at CVS or me at a grocery store, that's more character than me in pantyhose and trunks out there. Like, that's like all leashes off, full freedom. You can step into the cage with the animal, but if you feed it, it may take your arm off, kind of a thing, where there's no one in there telling me how to act or behave or do. And the reaction measure is how things are done around here, versus there's some real life kayfabes you got to go deal with when you go to the pharmacy or you go to the flower shop, where you're going, y'all are all doing the same thing I am. I'll at least admit it out loud.
You got that long CVS receipt, that nice reflection.
You put it on like a ribbon every time, right? And then do a twirl. I go for that.
And that's what I love about you, man. I mean, you just talked about authenticity and like being your authentic self. And we talk about that a lot here on One on One with John Alba, where we like to really delve into the why, per se, of pro wrestling. And you're someone who identity has played such a big role in becoming who you are. You're a big representation of the LGBTQ plus group of pro wrestlers.
And an expanding group where the diversity, it's kind of this fun world where I'm learning more every day, even as someone who is a gay man, even as someone who's been in the LGBT community. There's so much we're learning about each other, about ourselves, to where we're not trying to segment each other, but we're trying to understand each other better. And so it's almost like, hey, if this box and this box can help you understand me, I'm not living exclusively there, but it helps people communicate better. And within our little realm, I've often joked that the insiders kicked out a lot of outsiders, but it turns out there was more outsiders than insiders, and we're all looking around going, the outside is everyone now. And so now seeing the kind of not just growth and diversity of being able to kind of platform new wrestlers who may not have had a spot before. And I want to say this, because I don't want to not give myself credit, but the truth is I'm not like the best, most compassionate, most caring of all. I'm just the loudest, and I can't shut myself up. And if I'm going to machete through the jungle here, y'all come along and eat as many berries as you please, but I get first pick because I'm over here yelling. But the expansion of people and their identities here, it expands what we can do in stories. It expands what we can do in matches. It expands the different little nuances and layers that the fans who are coming to wrestling shows now want and expect and are interested in keeping up with those details, the minutiae, and we're offering a completely new perspective. We've had different struggles. We've had different ways of getting here. We haven't fit in here completely until a little bit recently, but it's because we've culminated our world where our people feel safe performing and coming, but we've made it an attractive world where people are going, but it's also just good wrestling, so maybe I should just be watching this too. And they're finding out that, like, wrestling is wrestling. Whoever's there, whatever your nationality or race or gender or lack of gender or whatever you want to be, your truth is yours, and you get to come show that on a stage where there's familiarity to pro wrestling, but now we get to use that familiarity to explore stuff that we haven't had the people here to open enough to explore.
Well, and I've had that conversation with others on this program, Ashley Vox, Fred Rosser, the former Darren Young, and representation is so important in pro wrestling right now. And it's funny, I was talking with Ashley, you know, like in the past you used to have women's wrestlers that would be presented with bra and panty matches and stuff like that. But I feel like we don't talk about how LGBTQ wrestlers were once portrayed in pro wrestling in a more demeaning fashion. So to see that improvement and those strides that we've made, how does that make you feel as a member of the community?
It's different now, but I'm going to say a little bit of a Pollo Del Mar quote, which if you are not familiar with Pollo Del Mar, she is a very talented drag queen from California, but she has also been managing Jamie Senegal at NWA. She has been doing hosting duties at my shows. She's been writing articles and doing podcasts. She is fully in on wrestling. And the way she kind of puts it is that, yes, we weren't presented the best way. We weren't always shown in the best light, but when the only thing you can eat is schlop, you eat the schlop until you can make a steak. And we are now at the point where we're going, hey, we ate a lot of fucking schlop. It's fine. It fed us, but we can make our own food now. We are in the position to do these things without the necessary sort of, there's always been these gates. You needed cable television. You needed a bigger company. You needed this. And now people are seeking us out because at first they're finding that we're with them, we're different, we fit in with them, but also because they're going, I didn't even know wrestling was like this. You bring up wrestling and they're still going, oh, Hogan, Austin, The Rock. You know, they're stuck 25 years in the past because wrestling today has not progressed past that. We are still telling the same stories. We are still telling the same, this is why they're feuding because they're mad at their brands. They want their brands to win. And as grown
adults, brand supremacy.
They're often surprised when I go, hey, we told a really weird, nuanced story about someone being possessed by a demon and me having to give their soul back. And they go, that's so stupid. And I go, it wasn't, though, because we told the story we needed to tell. And they've been afraid to take those risks because they got bitten a little. Like, they put their toes in the water with some things, and they didn't do it correctly, and we bit. Bite. You don't ever want to put your feet back in the water again. And instead of going, hey, the last time we went in the water, it wasn't good. You're a water guide. Could you lead us in? Of course, they went, we'll never stick our feet in the water again, no matter if that costs us money, because we can't risk fucking up. Instead of going, hey, we're trying to approach this as good as possible, they're really asking people to fit their mold. And then they're stepping out into this crazy indie world and they're going, wait a second. The mold is anti what these new fans want and what these new people are coming for. And I look at tonight in Minneapolis, I see wrestling fans. I see Bullet Club shirts. I see AEW shirts. I also see people who don't watch weekly wrestling television, who are here for a good time, who are going to buy a shirt just because they enjoy the show and not because they've been watching someone for 8 years or know all of their indies. There's a whole new audience coming in. And by holding on to this traditional way of this is how wrestling's done, instead of saying, how do we use wrestling to make the best programming possible, they're missing on so much. And all I can say is keep up, baby, because I'm not going to help you.
I know that's something that you've talked about a lot in other interviews as well, how wrestling doesn't need to be you signed for a big promotion and that's what your career is going to be. The wheel is sort of being reinvented in real time, and you're very much part of that. Why is it so important, in your opinion, that there are these other options, that people don't have to view pro wrestling in the traditional prism that they used to?
I think now more than ever, there are these. Right now, I've got a little tiff going with Matt Cardona.
Well, we're
going
to talk about it.
Well, I'm going to talk about it a little here to say that he was in a position where he really could have been the first person to ever go, hey, this seems like the craziest idea, but I think the future's in this direction. I'm going to tell this guy to suck it, and I'm going to make indie wrestling crazy. And instead, he bent at the knee. And I understand when that place is your childhood dream, those glasses have a real good rose color. But Drew Galloway's WrestleMania moment was in a warehouse in Orlando, like a lot of other customs matches I've seen. So let's not forget about objectivity and where wrestling truly is. Y'all drug your ass through COVID. You did not adapt, you did not change, and we busted our ass to create a new way of putting wrestling out even in hard times to still have representation, to still have new groundbreaking programming in independent wrestling, from things like The Masked Wrestler to a 24-hour wrestling show from GCW. When they said, how do we scrape by during this tough time? We said, tough time, different time, let's eat. And we're used to being told no, so we're eating in new ways. And if they want to come with us, they can take whatever we have. I've got, somebody asked me the other day, they said, if somebody takes your idea or your move, are you mad? I go, dog, if you're mad about that, you don't have enough ideas or moves, because I'm not running out anytime soon. So if you guys need to borrow now, go on ahead, have fun. But on the indies, we are celebrating that diversity, not just for ourselves, but because it's expanding wrestling. Don't you want people to actually pay to come to wrestling? Wouldn't you like people to actually cheer at shows and not sit on their ass and wait for Mr. Meltzer's to tell them how many stars he put on the chart? Sit down, enjoy yourself, and objectively take in wrestling that isn't the same stuff you've seen for the past 40 years.
So what do you make of the role that Matt Cardona in particular has played so far during this venture on the scene, obviously calling you out on multiple occasions, getting physical with you and making it very personal? Is he respectful of this land that you just described to me?
I think I'm glad that he isn't. Because what a lot of guys find out when they get back to the indies is it's very easy to slap an As Seen On logo on things. But what promotions find out after booking once or twice and spending good money and feeling like they're getting a deal and setting things up and trying to provide for their fans what they think they want, what they find out is it's not bringing anyone new in, and the same people are there and they're just saying, oh, wow, we get to see that guy too. We were here last month. We were here the next month. These are things that are hot for niche wrestling fans instead of, let's be honest, this is going to make some people real mad. Y'all can't draw 200 people at some of y'all's shows, and Honey Boo Boo drew 2,500 people. And you can say, well, yeah, they were there to see Honey Boo Boo. Yeah, well, it had 8 matches on the card, and everybody watched the matches to get to Honey Boo Boo. Y'all can still tell yourselves that all these magical, proficient wizards are going to save wrestling, but y'all have had 25 years, and you keep re-signing the same guys, rehashing the same stuff, and I'm going, go ahead and have fun, because the Titanic was a big, beautiful ship, but it sank super fast, and I don't have a lot of room on my wood door. Am I too spicy tonight?
I mean, you got a little color on you. You had a very, very stressful encounter with Darren Corbin a little before. Are you feeling okay?
Honestly, I feel pretty good, because he went psychopathic.
Very much so.
And we're guys who are typically looked at as like, oh, you're comedy guys, you're comedy this. But I think about what we do, and it is, we are trying to approach wrestling from a different way than, you know, hey, wrestling is so fucking lazy, so freaking lazy sometimes, in that they're like, hey, you know that one structure? And they're like, yep. And they're like, let's do that like Mad Libs. And every one of these Joker-ass dream matches are the same Mad Libs formula of plug it in. And it's so boring. Boys, we're on the inside here on ad-free shows. Let me say another controversial statement.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of nostalgia fans here and a lot of very reputable nostalgia individuals with pro wrestling.
See, I'm a nostalgia fan too, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying when I say this. Professional wrestling is an emulation of a fight. Professional wrestling is not an emulation of professional wrestling. So go have fun in Meadowland, boys, but we're telling real stories out here.
And I think there is some hesitance from some individuals who are kind of stuck in those older times to come around to. I love what you just said about you're seen in one prism as a comedy guy, but then you go out there and you do what you can. How much do you wear that as a chip on your shoulder when you're performing to show that you can have fun, you can enjoy yourself, but you are someone that people should take seriously when they watch you?
I think a lot of people perceive that, you know, sometimes with this casual nature of Effie, that it's, I'm not taking it seriously or I'm goofing, but I can't stay in this game this long without being pretty perceptive. And wrestling has always been a mind game. And if you're thinking that this is weird, you're probably about to get caught off guard, and you're probably going to forget that I can bleed out of my face. And you'll probably forget that I'm 6'1 and 220 and I'm the real deal. And if you're looking at me and going, he may not be a threat, duh, girl, y'all got fixed into a position. Of course, I don't want you thinking I'm a threat. I want you goofing up, messing up, and bleeding. That's how we do it. Let them think that. I don't wear it as a chip, though, because I've gotten so comfortable, and I think my entrance does it best, right? I don't announce a height, a weight. a hometown, a trainer, a school, a from, a by way of, a former, a this. This is Effie. And that's not to say that what you saw last time wasn't also Effie, and what you'll see in the future isn't Effie, and the thing that looks very different that was Effie isn't also Effie. I'm just letting the room know that right now, what you're getting is live in this room, and this, at this current moment, is Effie. Figure it the fuck out, because it might be a lot of things tonight, and it might be a comedy guy, and he might be the silly gay boy, and he might be too aggressive, and he might be bleeding, but the second you think you know what Effie is, you gotta go, oh shit, I thought this is Effie. Is that Effie? It's all Effie.
You said that you're a retro fan, and you do enjoy the nostalgia stuff. Where do you draw some of your inspiration from?
My dad is a North Carolina boy. We watched NWA. We watched Crockett. We watched The Horseman.
So crazy, because, and I'm not meaning to cut you off, but like visually and with your character presentation, it's hard to pick up on some of that stuff. But then you look at that nuanced layer to it, like you said, there certainly are some inspirations.
Absolutely. And I think you can even look back at like someone like the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. If you saw that guy in the store and you were a wrestling fan in 1985, you'd be like, that's a wild dude. I don't know what's going on. And he's acting weird. You'd be like, it might be a damn hippie, might be a wild. But when he comes out and has that confidence in himself, nobody's going like, there's that wackadoo. They're going like, you better watch out for the freaking Boogie Woogie Man. He's going to boogie and woogie, but he's going to slap you down too. And it was never presented to me in my household as like, this is a work, this is this, this is that. I wasn't allowed to watch WWF before about 96. So I was watching some WCW. I was watching the old stuff. I was loving it. I was never filled in. And then when you figure out the filling, you go, hold up. Why was it so much faster to figure out over here than it was over here? And it's because they came out and they never broke it, no matter how silly, how weird, how dumb, how they were meaningful in their violence and where they put it. They had characters, they had motives, but it was always, hey man, you might just get hit in the face and that might be it. And my finish might just be clubbing you down and that might be it. And if you've ever been in a real fight, sometimes it's sudden and sometimes it's out there and sometimes it doesn't follow a pattern. And that's the best way to keep these people on their feet.
It seems to me like you really do take a lot of pride in being a trailblazer, not just with your character work, but connecting those elements of what you just said about nostalgia to this new school style of pro wrestling and showing everyone that pro wrestling doesn't have to be what you thought it once was. What would you like people to take away from your journey here?
Well, I want them to take this from pro wrestling, because it's a concept that was presented to me first by Mark Maron, but I've thought about it a lot. And I've talked about this before, but I can't get it out of my head, where we're a little bit of an apathetic society now. Think about how fast you scroll Twitter. Think about how many videos you see in a day. Think about how many little things make you laugh that you'll never think about again. Think about how many shows, how many movies. We are consuming media at such a rapid, crazy pace that it almost feels sometimes like none of it's consequential and none of it's really there and none of it matters. What we have to do now with pro wrestling is continue over and over innovating and finding and filling the niche, because this opposite attitude of, hey, we don't give the fans everything, we're going to edge them till then, we're going to keep them there, they're going to have to wait 7 weeks. Humans don't process like that anymore. Humans don't sit around and wait for the next thing. We binge, we tweet, we scroll, we like, we move on. And it's okay for your wrestling show to let the bang out. Because when you're not letting it bang out and you're dragging things out and you're insulting intelligence of people who've paid money and who are probably a lot smarter than most people on the roster, unfortunately, the fans are smarter than us now and it's fantastic, you are left with a situation where they're going to be perceptive and go, oh, I don't think this is real at all. I know everything. I know it all. Or they're going to come in and they're going to respect the presentation. But in all that respectfulness, in all that entertainment, in all that left-wing, new, big brain energy, there are moments. And the moment, this big of a moment, that I can genuinely make you forget it is a work or wrestling or silly old Hulk Hogan stuff, if I can get you for that much, and as Maron says, if he pays $20 for a movie ticket and he can genuinely laugh one time, it is worth the price of admission. With everything hitting us all the time, if you can get one jewel in there, they'll come back for that jewel all the time. But you have to take the risk. You have to take a chance. And sometimes you got to fall down a staircase and make people guess whether or not that was on purpose. I've been up for 30 hours. I don't know.
You're a conductor, man. You're a conductor. You're driving the show. And it's been really fun to watch your career unfold and even get on a bigger stage as is now, as you look to, quite frankly, beat the shit out of Matt Cardona. And that's what a lot of people are hoping for.
Yeah. And, you know, last thoughts on Cardona, because I think people get it confused. He did take the internet championship back from me. But let's summarize what's really going on. Let's go back to Effie being a drug of self-reflection. Matt, I took something from you that you made up for yourself. I made it a real thing. I made people forget how long Bruno held the belt because I took it away from you 2 years longer. Long reigning championship, Cardona. And now you got your girl involved. You got my bus sister, Allie Catch, involved. Let's clear the air. I'm not going to work people. I'm not going to fuck around here. I'm going to tell you this. I am here to emotionally break you. I am here to make you look at wrestling like you've never seen it before. And you thought Nick Gage, deathmatch, wild style, and you're looking and going, he hit you in the chair, hit you in the head with the chair a lot. He did a lot of mean moves. Keep doing the mean moves. Effie is unstoppable, and Effie will not go away until you have to fucking face it, Cardona. Until you have to look at yourself and go, damn, I hate this guy, but only because he's doing what I didn't have the balls to do 10 years ago because I thought I had to have a guarantee for food on my table. I make a lot of money, John, and I don't say that to brag. I say it to say to everyone out there, if you think you need a company's elbow rub, they're happy to find out that you don't know that they need us so bad. The shows don't exist without us, and the people they've got doing creative couldn't get over in 96, 98, 99, 2001, couldn't sell tickets because if you're still here that long, you didn't make enough to retire, so you weren't that great. I don't take advice from people who can't sell tickets. We've got to restructure. You guys can come with me and make some money. It takes a lot of work, a lot more than just doing a 6-minute match every month. But my God, I am pro wrestling, baby, and I find out every week by eating and eating and eating where I want.
Typically, one-on-one with John Alba involves me having to drive a lot of the conversation, but with someone like Effie, he's in the driver's seat. I really appreciate your time. I've been wanting to lay this down with you for a long time. I've annoyed the shit out of you.
No, you have not. I just want to say, I know I was real fired up on this. I'm a lovely person, but also, I went to the Nick Gage Invitational yesterday. I had a huge tag match Friday night. I just had a violent encounter. I'm like up on wrestling right now. I'll sleep tomorrow, 8 p.m. Monday Night Raw, Monday nights. There's no other wrestling on. I don't know.
Well, I think that's a great way to wrap
it. If you have to censor any of this, I fully understand.
No, we love it. And we appreciate all you guys here on Ad Free Shows subscribing. Once again, adfreeshows.com. You get early access to one-on-one with John Alba every single Thursday. And then Saturday, AFS on YouTube.com for free for everyone. Hit that like button. Check Effie out. He's everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And I love watching you, man.
Thank
you. I'm glad to see that you didn't get any of the blood on my hair. Like that
no.
means a lot.
This is a real stronghold blood kind of glue.
Okay.
And if you don't know about me, if you want to follow me anywhere, everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, Pro Wrestling Tees, it used to be Kill Effie, K-I-L-L-E-F-F-Y. No more.
No more.
Y'all couldn't.
Nope.
Y'all wouldn't.
Nope.
Effie lives.
Yes.
E-F-F-Y, L-I-V-E-S. And a lot of people say, what does Effie mean? I change the answer all the time. So it means electric and fantastic and
See you guys next time.